This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, did you know that less than 10% of women are being fielded in the upcoming Sabah state election? In this article in The Star yesterday, Sabah poll candidates list showed a rather sad number of only 43 female candidates contesting in a sea of 404 male candidates.
And if you were to look across all the other states, the numbers are just as dismal. I think in the state legislative assembly, Johor, for example, has 8 out of 56 representatives, while Penang has 6 out of 40. Even the states of Kelantan and Malacca, I think Kelantan, for example, and Malacca, they both only have 2 female representatives. And Terengganu, in its 32-member state assembly, it only has 1 female member.
Truly, truly disappointing. So, of course, the question is here, why are women so underrepresented in the political scene, especially when Malaysia ratified the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, or CEDAW, back in 1995? Why has very little been done to consciously increase efforts when it comes to women's representation in politics? Now, weighing in on this, we have Nurul Izzah Anwar, MP of Bermatang Pauh, on the line with us. Thanks for joining us, Nurul. Now, why hasn't there been a stronger push for women's representation in political parties, especially when the 30% female involvement in politics messaging is repeated every year?
Hi, everyone. Well, I think it's an important target, for our party from the very beginning. The 30% mantra has been repeated time and again, but it does have dismal or differing results when it comes to implementation and eventual candidacy. I think, partly it's also depending on the level of commitment, the political will and eventual women that are fielded in different seats. You talk about Sabah, we have 447 candidates and only 73 seats. But I think when the women's wing and the different teams are pushing, it also weighs in how much of that or the names are going to be mainstreamed or accepted by the party leadership. And across the political spectrum, it does require inter as well as intra-party collaboration, because we're talking about a collaborative effort. There's going to be different coalitions in place. And perhaps the patriarchal system is still very much in existence. So it's not just the women wanting to contest themselves. It's also whether you have sufficient numbers and training for this effect. I mean, I'm also disappointed initially when the names were announced. But we also have to be mindful of the dames that have been training in that particular area for a long time. So you talk about the Murut representation, in some of the seats, the Rungus community in some of the other seats. It always also is dependent on how much time has been educated for those vying for that particular seat and whether they will be eventually chosen. And most of them have come from an active effort by the women's wing.
So what sort of measures are needed to be put in place to ensure better implementation of women's representation in politics?
So a lot of them have this agenda of having 30% representation. So that's all well and good. But by the same token, I'm reminded of Madeleine Albright's kind of off-color quote, which is very important. There's a special reserve for women who don't support other women. And it really comes to the point that once you have the particular agenda, is it binding? Is there any punitive element to it, whether there's a particular quota set before the candidacy is announced? So I remember the women's wing in the party. I mean, the important thing is to have sufficient kind of support from the mainstream leaders. So that's one, when you have the agenda. But the second bit is to make it binding through punitive measures if it is not followed through. And number three, of course, to create a culture of support for women, to make it an ecosystem where it's considered the norm. We have done this, so it eventually it's always going to be a phase-by-phase gradual approach where sometimes you do better the last round, but for this particular round, you know, for whatever reason, is not really seen as something that has been delivered. So that punitive element is crucial. Training is the last bit I would add, because it is something that has to somehow, you know, capture the support of even male leaders, yeah, on the ground. As you can see, when we went to seats, whether it was Kamparuli, then to Api Api in Sabah per se, there is that degree of awareness. And I think that came from years of training, but still is somewhat having results that have not been satisfactory. But these three elements, in my view, have been helpful. And of course, you do expect it to be translated into actual results.
It seems like you are alluding to more reforms within political parties. Should female and youth wings be phased out and, you know, allow more women and youth to hold top council positions?
Well, it's funny that you ask that, because I think it could be disenfranchising the voices themselves. We had a very unique start with the women's and the youth wings, respectively, where they were given relatively far more autonomy compared to other political parties. So when Keadilan first started out, the youth wing was seen as independent and not subservient to the divisional heads or the divisional departments of the party. And that was really important, because after which they were actually mainstreamed. They were adopted as heads of communication. Of course, through the vice presidency, some appointments were made from young leaders. And of course, it was also, I think, during the time when our Rafizi held the post of Secretary General. So it's about, you know, I believe it's relevant, because then they act as very strong vocal reminders that women and youth must be taken into account and mainstreamed in the larger political arena, which has been the practice. But of course, you know, it's never enough, and you need to keep up, yeah, to ensure there's proper and sufficient representation. So whether it's the different positions centrally, our central leadership have actually been helped, been kind of pushed positively from the voices and the reminders and the pressure brought on by the female and the youth wing. So I don't know, for me, at the moment, will that be somewhat beneficial, or will the relevance of having more youth-centric and, you know, female-centric representation be lost if you do away with these two crucial wings? So it's really important to understand how it will be implemented. And, you know, it's an interesting question. Perhaps eventually, you know, it is, concurrently, which will help kind of provide the issues and bring them to the fore.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Nurul. That was Nurul Izzah Anwar, MP for Pematang Pauh, and she is still in support of having a separate youth and women's wing, because as she points out, it does give you kind of an automatic platform to put forward the issues that are important to your community, right? Yeah. I guess the hope is that in the end they will be phased out, but perhaps not yet.
Yes, but I think what's most important is that women and youth should be allowed to hold top council positions. I think PKR, they can, but I don't think that's the case for some other major political parties.
We're actually running a poll on Twitter right now. Should youth and women's wings in political parties be phased out? Similar question we asked Nurul Izzah earlier. Yes, 39% say yes, 32% say no, 18% say not yet, and 11% don't know. Let us know what you think over at BFM Radio's Twitter account.
Absolutely. And do tell us why you voted the way you did. We'll be taking a look at the results of the poll later on in the show. But right now we have the 8 o'clock news bulletin coming up for you, and then the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Dr. Lee Kim Miao, Managing Director of Top Glove Corp. So stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.